Welcome. You are about to take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Bouffet on the Love by Intuition show. For the next hour, allow her to prepare you in becoming a magnet for a profound love-infused relationship by identifying and focusing on solutions through love. Awaken the light within and let your essence shine. And now, here's Deborah Bouffet on Love by Intuition, all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Welcome, everyone. Bonjour, mes amis. And yes, here I am, Deborah Bouffet, all the time, every time. The host of Love by Intuition show and founder, owner of the Dream Vision 7 radio network, which is a live broadcast here at 1510 AM NBC Sports Radio Boston. And you can pick up all our shows, not only the Love by Intuition show, but all our glorious hosts. We are a holistic Boston-based internet radio station. It's syndicated with others. And this show will be heard Tuesday, 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. And there's a schedule there. And what I'm very excited about is we're working on a new site. So we have a great show for you today, and believe it or not, Barbara Berger from Copenhagen, Denmark, is back with us for the third time, and I love the threes. And her son, Tim Ray, was to come on with us. He is the author of 101 Relationship Myths, How to Stop Them from Sabotaging Your Happiness. However, he's feeling under the weather, so Barbara and I are going to be talking about, are you happy now in your relationships and getting real? And if you haven't heard any of the shows with Barbara, she is the Barbara Berger, American-born, best-selling author of The Road to Power, Fast Food for the Soul, that's translated in 30 languages. She's also the author of Mental Technology, Gateway to Grace, The Spiritual Pathway, The Awakening of Human Being, and Are You Happy Now? 10 Ways to Live a Happy Life. Now, to get a hold of Barbara, you can simply go on her site. It's Beam, like a light beam, B-E-A-M, team, beamteam.com. So I'm really excited about the show because it's all about relationships and it's endless and it's complex. So, Barbara, welcome to the show. Back to the
thank
show.
Thank you. Thank you for your wonderful introduction and thank you for having me back again. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Deborah. You know that.
Yes, we've got like a soul connection, soul sisters, I would say. So it's been so nice. And I should mention that originally we became connected through Dr. Bernie.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you were in the background on that show. You didn't say much, but you were there, shining your loving energy on me. I could feel it.
Oh, you could?
Definitely.
Yes, I help him out. He likes to have the female interaction, and yet I'm more quiet on his other show because I honor what, it's his show and honor what he's sharing. And then we do our show together naturally on our station, Dream Vision. So, So let's just get into it. I love talking about a conscious relationship versus the latter, and I have to say, even though, I mean, my huge, big, wonderful relationship was with my late husband, and I wasn't really conscious. I mean, I was conscious but not conscious, if you know what I mean. And yet we had an amazing relationship because we honored each other's feelings and thoughts, and we just didn't want to ever hurt each other intentionally.
So the fact that you honored each other's feelings and thoughts, it sounds to me like that's the perfect recipe for a successful relationship. I mean, that's really what just you put your finger on it right there. I mean, so many people have so many problems in their relationships because they're just not doing that. So the understanding that, we're different, we're separate individuals, everybody has their thoughts, their own feelings, their emotions, and dealing with that in a respectful way, I mean, then you're on the road to happiness. So, yes. Right.
I love that you started there. So you've been blessed with a relationship like that. That's terrific.
It was, yeah.
How long were you together before he passed away?
17 years.
Yeah. Okay, so you had a lot of years together, yeah.
That's right. I am fortunate to have that many. Yeah. And my marriage before that was 2.5 years long, and it was a full domestic violence type of relationship. So I went from the good, bad, you know, I went from the worst to the best.
To the wonderful.
Yeah, so I'm fortunate. I really am. And as I always say to the listeners, there's a gift in everything, even though it may be hard and challenging and heavy and you're down in the dirt. You know, coming out of it, you can see the gifts that are there for us.
Well, certainly everything, we can use everything as a learning, and everything is a learning. And apropos, the fact that my son he sends his regards, and he's very sorry that he couldn't make it today. He's not feeling well. But he's written this wonderful book that you mentioned, 101 Relationship Myths, How to Stop Them from Sabotaging Your Happiness. That's by my son, Tim Ray. And I'd just like to say, before we start talking about relationships, that all of our books, my son's book about relationships, this 101 Relationships Myths, and my book, the one that we're talking about also, Are You Happy Now? 10 Ways to Live a Happy Life. We work together, Tim and I, and we call our work Getting Real. And all of our books are sort of explorations of the way in which our thinking determines our experience of reality. In other words, we are always working with the way that people are thinking, the way that people are interpreting events, that's what's creating their experience. And so we're all, in all of our books, we start out at the same place, his relationship book and my book, Are You Happy Now? And actually the book before that, The Awakening Human Being. All our books start out with talking about that there is a difference between reality and our thinking. And that's for all of us. And by reality, we mean what's going on, what's happening, the events that are unfolding before us.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever is happening, every human being has an interpretation of what's going on in front of them, or what's going on in their life, or what's going on in their relationship. And we have discovered that when our expectations or our stories about reality are in conflict or very far away from what's actually happening, we usually don't feel good. We usually suffer.
Mm.
So in terms of relationships, both in my books and in Tim's book, we explore the stories that people have about relationships, their expectations to what it takes to have a happy relationship. We work with these kind of things to sort of clear up where people actually go wrong and where people have misunderstandings, which are actually sabotaging their happiness in their relationship. So that's actually why his book, Relationship Myths, How to Stop Them from Sabotaging Your Happiness, that's why the subtitle is that. In other words, if we can look at our thinking and identify where our stories about relationships are sabotaging our happiness, then we can actually set ourselves free from this and live more in harmony with the way things are and have a much better chance, a much better shot at having happy relationships.
Right. And I think it's so important if everyone was to really sit down and when a couple, you know, partnership, when they're ready to stick together in harmony, that they really should sit down and find out what their childhoods were like and what their perceptions are and their beliefs and question them before one starts to live together or
well, actually,
or get married.
Actually, that's one of the things that Tim actually does in the book. He calls it, you know, sitting down and having a talk, or what are your core, he calls it core values.
Exactly.
He calls it core values. In other words, if people can be very attracted to each other, but if they have very different values, if the things that are important to them or if their expectations to life are very different, if they don't sort of sit down and discuss this, they'll often get in trouble when they actually enter into a relationship, because their expectations to each other and to life, if they're very different, it makes it difficult to communicate.
Right.
It's often because we have these sort of uninvestigated, arbitrary beliefs about what it takes to have a happy relationship, what it takes to have a happy life. We're not, as you say, we're not conscious of all of this sort of material that we've been programmed with about what it takes to be happy. So it's really, really, really difficult for a lot of people to, before they actually start to wake up and look at this stuff. I know that Tim's book, anyway, now in Denmark here where we live, it's been a huge success. And there's so many people that have contacted us that have said that, you know, that his take on looking at relationships and at the myths about relationships, it has totally transformed their lives, totally transformed their relationships also.
Yeah.
So
I can see that. It is a great book. I enjoyed it very much. So, you know, what I find interesting is everyone gets caught up with the wedding and all the plans, where they're going to live and everything, without going into those core values and knowing more of the depth of the truth of who the person is.
Right.
And then, you know, as you know and I know, because we've lived long enough to experience a few relationships, I'll say.
yes, quite a few.
Is that there's so much expectation from each other, you know, and then the infamous one is figuring, well, I met this person, we have such a connection, and I know I can change them, you know, we can buy them some clothes, we can do this with them and mold them into what you would like. But then, you know, what is that? Because it's like dating or being married to yourself. So what's the point?
Well, it's funny that you say it like that, but actually, you know, I work as a therapist, as you know, on a daily basis, and this whole thing that, especially women, they meet a guy and they think he has potential. You know, it's if I work hard enough on him, he'll change.
Right.
And I mean that is like, that's one of actually the myths that Tim also takes up in his book.
That's,
you know, if you work hard enough on your partner, you can change your partner. I mean, this is just, I mean, right there already. When a woman comes to me and tells me that, I think to myself, hopeless.
Uh-huh.
I mean, first of all, you could say that changing other people, it's not possible for one person to change another person. And in fact, since you and I are working with, you know, personal development and have been our whole lives, we know from firsthand experience how difficult it is just to change yourself, right?
Right.
I mean, to wake up, to become more conscious, to do inner work, to develop yourself, that's a lifetime project that most of us are struggling with. So then to get a partner and look at this person, this man, this woman, and think this person has, you know, potential. It's like training a dog or something. You know, if I work hard enough on him, it's, first of all, it's so disrespectful also, you know. But anyway, I always say to my clients, you know, what you see is what you get. You got to look at reality. You got to wake up to reality. And is this okay for you? Is this what you want? Go for it, girl. But otherwise, you're just fooling yourself.
Right.
So this whole idea about he has potential, I hear it often from women. It's really, it's like,
oh yeah, absolutely.
But then there's another one. If we go back a little bit further, even before people get into a relationship, and I have to blush when I say this one because this has really been a big one for me, but the idea that strong sexual attraction means you're a good match. I mean,
right.
Oh, I have burned myself on that.
Yes. And
countless
yes.
Times.
And it doesn't always work out that way. It's society, not only in this country, but worldwide, where, you know, the glamour magazines talk about relationships all the time, and they're focused and directed towards the group of young women, you know, up until, you know, the late teens and the early 20s, and they believe whatever they read. And as you get wiser, you realize you believe what resonates with you, and that includes anything, whether it's a magazine, newspaper, media, TV. It's knowing what resonates with you, and you leave the rest.
Again, I think it goes back to what we were talking about before about core values. I mean, in other words, you can have strong sexual attraction doesn't mean necessarily that your core values is the same as the other person, that your things that interest you, the things that you want to spend your life doing, your sense of integrity or whatever it is. I mean, if it doesn't match, you know, then all the strong sexual attraction in the world is not going to really do it for you in the long run. I know that one from experience.
Right. And then on the other side of the coin, Barbara, as you and I know, when you have a relationship, whether it is just a sexual component or whether you're with someone for a day or 3 years, there's a purpose to that. It's part of our journey of healing ourselves if we can see it that way.
Yeah.
You agree with that, right? So even if it's a one-night stand, you know, from the early days, you learn from that. You learn how you feel about it. You learn what you would like to repeat, what you wouldn't. And so it's all part of the journey.
It's really, it's very interesting what you're saying now, too. Actually, I wrote a novel called The Adventures of Pebble Beach. It's actually going to come out in the U.S. in about a half a year's time. And it's actually, what you're talking about now, it's about a woman in her 40s who's newly divorced and who's trying to make a career for herself in the big city, and she's got two teenage sons. But it's an exploration of her disastrous relationships with men after her divorce. And then in the book, she starts to go to therapy to explore all the things that we're talking about now. So I really I think you'll enjoy it when it comes out. I really tried to see if I could write a fiction, you know, instead of all the self-help books that I've written. I really thought I would try to see if I could make a drama out of it. So far, the people who have read it, they really love it. But it's such a fascinating subject, relationships, and it is such a learning for all of us. And there's so many gifts in it, and the difficulties, as you were saying, are often the greatest teachers. And that's kind of what The Adventures of Pebble Beach is about. It's about a woman who, she really gets in some nasty situations, but how much she grows and what she learns from it. So.
Yeah, and that's really everyone, every human being in relationships. And we can extend that further to the office environment, who we work for, the relationships we have there in the office environment. It just continues. There was a time when I thought, gee, you know, is there anything I haven't experienced that was heavy and tragedy and all this? And then now I don't say that any longer because I know the smallest thing, there's a purpose to it. The largest thing, there's a larger purpose. And certainly relationships are top in that, whether it's with your mother, your father, your brother, everyone.
Relationships are definitely our number one teacher. I certainly agree with that. But again, to know what you're saying, the insight that you're sharing now is so important, because I can see every person who comes to me for therapy, when they walk in the door, nobody comes to me because they're happy and everything's working out. They come to me because they've got a problem or they're in crisis, and it's usually with their relationship. Some kind of relationship, usually with the partner or else with the mother or the child or whatever. And it's like the end of the world. They don't know what to do. But I always think to myself, and they usually agree with me after they've been with me for about a half a year, that this is the greatest gift they could have gotten, because this crisis, this relationship, these difficulties have forced them to go within, to really start to do inner work, to take responsibility for their thinking, for their feelings. And so many people turn their lives around because of the problems that they have in their relationships. So it's what you're saying, to know in advance that even if you have difficulties, that some wonderful gift is going to come out of this for you, that you cannot see the end of all things, that who knows what's good or bad. You know, what seems like a terrible crisis right now, a year down the road, you'll say, God, this is the best thing that could have happened to me, you know?
Right.
The gifts that I got from this, I mean, I can certainly say it, the worst relationship crises that I've had have totally transformed me also.
Right. It cannot. Although there are people who may medicate themselves with drugs or alcohol or food because they lost that person. That person chose someone else, and they never can get over it. But the choice, again, it goes back to human choice. We have a choice of what we think. We have a choice of whether we want to heal within or whether we want to be miserable for the rest of our lives.
Well, I don't know if I would say quite like that. I mean, we have a choice if we're conscious, but most people, when they're really in pain, especially people who self-medicate with drugs or alcohol or whatever, I mean, they don't know that they have a choice, most of them, plus that they don't have the tools. I mean, my heart really goes out to people who don't have a support system, who don't have access to the right information, who maybe don't know about 12-step programs. There's so many good ways that people can deal with really severe crisis, but there's a lot of people who are not exposed, who are cut off from this kind of understanding. So I don't think that they really know yet. And that's really you could say, if there's any tragedy in it, the tragedy of not really knowing yet that there are options, that there are choices that you can make. So, I mean, that's really one of the things that motivates me to write all these books and do what I do. That I want to get this information out, right?
Right. And I agree with you. There are some people just don't have the skills and the inner strength to make that choice. But from my life, that everyone has a choice. Whether they're inebriated 24/7, they still have that inner light. They can connect and make that choice. And that's just my perception. So anyway, we need to take our first break, everyone.
Okay.
We're with Barbara Berga. And you can address that when we come back, Barbara, if you'd like. But anyway, we'll be back in a moment. Don't go away.
Experience a different yet profound healing with Reconnective Healing. Includes yet expands beyond any and all known forms of energy healing. The Reconnective Healing Spectrum is comprised of the full healing and evolutionary continuum of energy, light, and information. It allows for healings that are not just physical, not just mental, not just emotional, yet go beyond that to bring healing that includes the evolution of your very being and essence. Deborah Beauvais, trained and certified by world-renowned Dr. Eric Pearl, offers appointment hours at Seekonk Family Chiropractic in Seekonk, Massachusetts. For questions or to set up both distance or local sessions, call Deborah at 508-431-1959. Again, 508-431-1959. Or go to lovebyintuition.com. That's lovebyintuition.com.
Join us every first Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Welcome Welcome back, everyone. It's Deborah of the Love by Intuition show. We're here with Barbara Berger from Copenhagen, and this is a live Dream Vision 7 radio broadcast here at 1510 AM NBC Sports Radio Boston, where we reach five states just by turning the dial. You can listen to our shows on our station, Dream Vision's the number 7, radio.com. We have the apps where you can listen through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and a number of other stations as well. And I should mention, we have, if you're on our Constant Contact newsletter list, and it's free, you're automatically in a drawing for Book of the Month. And this month, we have Benevolent Contacts with Tanaya Kamadan, who's, I believe she's from Indonesia. And by being on our email list, and you can sign up at any page on our site, you'll automatically be in the drawing. And Barbara's books are going to be in the drawings in the future as well.
Yes.
Yeah, we're usually booked out a year on that with different authors. But it's a fun way of we promote you and a listener receives a book. So, one of the things that everybody thinks of, and this is always a good one with partnerships and relationships, is that you need a partner to be happy. And that's a hard one to get to a place of knowing that the happiness and the joy that we're looking for on the outside is really on the inside, especially if you are someone who lives alone. That's easier said than done, but can be done with some inner work and knowing that there's a higher intelligence and guides and angels and God with us all the time because we have it within us. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, I think that actually the whole idea about needing a partner to be happy. First of all, I've just wrote a book called "Are You Happy Now?" This latest book of mine that's just come out, and that whole book is a discussion of, you know, what first of all, what is happiness, and we have in that book I define happiness in two ways. I talk about what I call conditional happiness, which is the happiness that we experience when we have a good relationship or when we're successful or when we, you know, make a lot of money or we have lovely children, the kind of happiness that we experience, which is based on outer circumstances, other people, things that happen to us. I call that conditional happiness, and of course it's lovely, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't enjoy when, you know, nice things happen or we have a great partner or we have success, but this happiness is conditional because it's outside of us, it's something that we can't control, it's relative, in other words, it'll come and go, everything in the relative world comes and goes. And then in the book I talk about what I call unconditional happiness, and by that I mean the joy of being, the joy of existence, experiencing the divinity of our own nature, and that's our true nature to begin with, and that's nothing that we can create, and it's nothing that we can lose either. But most of us don't experience it because we are so busy seeking things in the outer, and we have so many expectations to what we should achieve in the outer that we actually miss, you could say, experiencing the radiance or the divinity of our own being. So your question ties very nicely into that. The thought that I need a partner to be happy, it can be a very stressful belief to have. First of all, because it takes you away from experiencing the divinity, which is your true nature to begin with. And second of all, if you think that you need a partner to be happy, you're always dependent on something outside yourself which you cannot control. And people get in really a lot of trouble when they're single, when they're in a relationship, either way with this belief. And again, most of us believe it innocently. We have been programmed to believe this from childhood. And again, in Tim's wonderful book about relationship myths, that's one of the myths that he takes up from the very beginning of the book, that the happiness that we seek is outside of ourselves.
something that we, you know, maybe we'll be blessed with, and maybe we won't. So it's a very problematic thing to believe.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, and a lot of times people will expect that person to make them happy. And right. It's not their responsibility to make us happy, nor is it our responsibility to make them happy. However, when you come from a place of love and you live consciously from that place, you do want to do things for others that would make them happy in that sense. So it can get confusing because we like...
Well, I mean, you could say our nature is joy, love. I mean, our nature... Sure. Is, you know, you could say love in action is service. I mean, to want to please another person, to want to support, to want to help, that's sort of love in action. That's our nature. That's the you could say the will of God that's working through us. But
exactly.
Being responsible for your partner's happiness, that's something else. I mean, in other
right.
words, there's a really big difference there, which is also a source of confusion. And I can see also from people coming to me, clients, that's really one of the big things, you know, that they feel when there are problems in the relationship. Well, if I follow my integrity or if I do what feels right for me, my partner is going to be unhappy about that because that's not really what he or she wants me to do. And somehow I am responsible for their right. reaction to my choices. And that's where getting real, the tools that we have really are very valuable. If we understand that the way another person reacts to any situation is really the result of their thinking, their belief system, their interpretation, then we can see that we cannot possibly be responsible for another person's reaction. Most of the time, people in a relationship, they think they're responsible because they know what the other person thinks and they know how they'll react. For example, I had a woman who came to me. She was like, and I think she was like in her early 50s, and she was married to a man who was a little bit older. He was like in his late 60s, so he was just retiring. And she was full of life and energy, and she had these plans to start her own business. She had been working for some company, and now she was ready to fly on her own, and he didn't want her to. Mm-hmm. He wanted her to stop working and give up her job and give up her plans because now he was retired and they were going to do stuff together.
Right.
And then I said to her, but this is your dream. You want to do that. And then she said, well, he'll be unhappy if I do this, and I'm responsible for him being unhappy. And I said, well, look at what you're saying. This man, he could react in many ways. I mean, he could react and say, you know, this is wonderful. I'm so proud of you, darling. Go for it. You have my full support. So, but his story was that, you know, she should go stay at home and support him. But it was really, really problematic for her because she felt that her choice, what she was going to do with her life there, that was going to be the determining factor in his happiness or unhappiness.
Right.
Wow.
That's right? That's a big responsibility.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Isn't it fascinating? I find it. And then, you know, you can talk about those of us that have had domestic violence type of marriages or partnerships. And that's all about not valuing yourself enough to have a healthy relationship.
Right.
And that's a whole thing. But there are many people out there, maybe not in a domestic violence situation, but truly doing whatever that other person wants them to do, not really happy about any of it. And there's other things that come to my mind, too, where there's so many times where a young couple comes together and they start you know, cycle of behavior between the two of them. And if they just realized at that point to say to the other person, you know what, that's unacceptable. I'm not going to be able to, you know, do that. I can't do this kind of relationship. Then you nip it in the bud. If you accept that kind of behavior that isn't, and I'm not talking about domestic violence now, I'm talking about,
I think also it's important to say here that you can be in an abusive relationship where there's no violent physical violence, but psychological.
Oh, absolutely.
Psychological abuse. They say also the studies show that it can be more damaging.
Well, more damaging than physical violence. Yeah,
so,
it can be until someone's knocking your head against the wall, and then that really hurts. But yes, I agree with you. The psychological and the mental abuse can do such a number on anyone. But what I'm thinking of, I've got all these things running around in my brain, but what I'm thinking about is the marriages that now they've been together for 30, 40 years, and they really don't like each other, and they're still doing the cycle. She says something, he does this, or do you know what I mean? And they've got like a pattern that they do all the time, and neither one of them are happy. But if they would have spoke up at the beginning of the relationship, as mentioned earlier, they could have changed that kind of behavior.
I think that a lot of what you're talking about really stems from many of us, more than most of us would admit, come from dysfunctional families.
Right.
We have dysfunctional backgrounds, and that means that we didn't come from a family where there were healthy boundaries. There wasn't, we didn't learn that we had the right to be who we are. We didn't learn healthy self-esteem, healthy self-respect. So we didn't have role models in our parents which taught us, you know, what is a healthy relationship? How do we deal with each other with respect? What is healthy communication? So many people who come from this kind of background, then they grow up and they get in their own relationship, and if they are not really into doing inner work, it just sort of gets passed from one generation to the other.
Exactly. Until someone says, "Hey, get me off this cycle." But anyway, we need to take a break, everyone.
Okay.
We're having fun here talking about all kinds of things with relationships. Don't go away. We'll be back just in a moment.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show, Saturdays 2 to 3 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Saturday 2 to 3 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Do you wish to have inner peace while living in challenging times? Are you unhappy and don't know why? Life consists of either a path of love or fear. When we choose a path of love, we learn and grow. If we choose a path of fear, we stay stuck in negativity. The time is now to heal ourselves and the world by choosing a different way. Through the path to your power, your inner light, you will find self-love and experience amazing changes. You can have inner peace, wonderful relationships, good health, and a flow of abundance. Complete the circle of illuminating love using our tools and learn how to retain your power throughout life. To learn more about the path to your power and the Divine Love Within consultations, call Deborah Beauvais at 508-226-1723 or go to lovebyintuition.com.
Join us every second and fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Join us every second Sunday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for the Nurturing Intuitive Children with Dr. Nikki Show, where you'll discover holistic strategies and techniques that support intuitive and empathic children in our homes, in schools, and in healthcare. Through our panel of distinguished guests, you'll receive parenting tips, education strategies, and holistic health solutions that'll help you improve the lives of these magnificent children and help their inner light shine even more brightly on the planet. Our program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Are you ready to be who your soul wants you to be? Join Lynn McGonigal, the founder of the Lightworkers Healing Method, as she and her amazing guests show you how to move into a life of lasting joy. Miracles happen every second Sunday at 6 p.m. right here on the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Hasn't your soul already waited long enough?
The Massachusetts Soldiers Legacy Fund, MSLF, was founded in 2004 with a simple goal: to provide educational assistance grants to the children of Massachusetts service members who were killed while deployed on operations enduring an Iraqi freedom. With its current resources, the MSLF guarantees a minimum of $40,000, $10,000 per annum, in educational funding to each child of a fallen service member whose home of record at the Department of Defense was Massachusetts. There's no selection process. If an individual is a child of a service member whose service is credited to Massachusetts and whom gave his or her life in Operation Enduring or Iraqi Freedom, that child qualifies for MSLF funds. We're proud to report that we're accomplishing our founding objective thanks to the support of individuals and organizations throughout the United States. To donate, go to mslfund.org.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Join us on Creating a Spirited Life with Janet Kesenick the third Sunday of every month at 8 p.m. We'll explore the day-to-day moments that puzzle, enlighten, and bring us into deeper connection with our best selves. Find meaning, purpose, and humor while creating a spirited life. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Welcome back, everyone. We're with Barbara Berger. She's in Denmark. She does inner work with all of you out there, can do that via Skype. So you don't have to be in the U.S. to work with her. And if you would like to order her books and check her out, go on her site. It's Beam Team, Beam, B-E-A-M, like a beam of light, beamteam.com, all one word. And I should mention, anyone that wants to call in this last segment, certainly you may. Mike is in the house. The numbers are 617-237-1234. Again, 617-237-1234. Toll free 866-338-9663. Barbara and I were talking during the break, and I mentioned to her that I was a matchmaker, personal matchmaker at one time. Did that for 6 years, and one of the clients. It just kind of shows if someone's not ready for a real relationship or needs to really spend some time looking within. But one of my clients wanted a guy, had a list like most everyone, but wanted a guy with long eyelashes. And it was just...
I've never heard anything like that before. Yeah. I've heard other lists, but long eyelashes is definitely not one I've heard, Deborah.
Yeah, so that's it's funny. And I said, you know, gee, you know, when your baby's sick, the last thing you're going to be thinking about is how long your husband's eyelashes are.
It's also really a good thing to talk about expectations in terms of relationships, because I think that that's also one of the places where we really go wrong today, having unrealistic Absolutely. Expectations to what a relationship can do for us, unrealistic expectations to what our partner should do and think and say in terms of us. I mean, taking responsibility for your own happiness, taking responsibility for your own life is so crucial to having a successful relationship, and not expecting unrealistically that the other person can fix things for you, can always make you feel happy, is always looking at you with love in their eyes. I mean, if we had a more realistic sort of evaluation, assessment of what a relationship really is like, you know, that, you know, sometimes our partners will be looking at us with positive regard, but not all the time, you know, and sometimes our partners will be occupied with other stuff, and sometimes our partners will be, you know, upset and, you know, with their stuff, and so we have really, really unrealistic expectations to partnership in itself, the whole deal.
That's right. Yeah. And so it's educating ourselves, though. And really, one of the, other than educating and reading books about empowering ourselves and the power we have within us, it's getting to know the truth of who we are, who we really are, and loving ourselves unconditionally, loving our inner child, our little self, and just caressing all that.
Right.
And when you get, and the gratitude too, when you have that love, like, you know, for yourself just the way you are, and can laugh when you make little things, and you know, when you have that, then you have gratitude, and that gratitude overflows into the person that you're eating dinner across, or whoever you are with. You're in gratitude for that present moment that you have for the individual, for the company.
Well said. I mean, I would say that what you're describing is really what I call when you become psychologically mature, when you have a more realistic assessment of the human condition, and you can embrace yourself, first of all, with all your so-called perfect imperfections, right? I mean, the whole of your humanity. And when you can embrace the whole of your own humanity, you're also much more compassionate and understanding to everyone else, because you can see, you know, I'm confused and he's confused and everybody's confused, so what else is new, right? So when we have this more sort of psychologically mature understanding of, it's challenging to be a human being, and I'm doing the best I can, and my partner's probably also doing the best he or she can, and, you know, sometimes we really make mistakes and we don't always get it right, but, you know, at the end of the day, we're all decent souls and we're all on a journey here, and couldn't we cut each other a little slack?
Yes. Yeah. I know, because when you just be who you are, and in the present moment, you're enjoying that person, and that's the joy that people crave and look for, and it's in the simplest part of life, is just in the present moment, enjoying what you're doing at that moment.
That's as good as it gets. That's it. I mean, you just said it there. You know, are you happy now? It's now. We've only got this, and the rest of it is all our stories, and we're lost in all these illusions, and, you know, we're worried about the future, and we're lost in our regrets about the past, but this is it, you know, now.
That's right.
And the person you're with, whether it's your mate or your friend, or now I'm with you, Deborah, this is the love of my life right now, right? You are the love of my life right now, because you're here. That's how I know.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. And another thing I wanted to mention for the listeners, too, is that not to beat yourself up, because whatever choices you made or whatever relationships you had 3 years ago, 5 years ago, you did the best you could with what you knew at that time. And again,
absolutely,
you take away the gift from what you learned. And it's usually about ourselves. We're not learning so much about the other person. We learn about ourselves.
That's a really, really important thing. Stop beating us. We're all so, again, I see people every day, and we're all our own worst enemy. I mean, we're all beating ourselves up. We have these, again, unrealistic expectations to our own perfection, you know, that we should be so fantastic, this and so. I mean, hello? I mean, if we could just treat ourselves a little bit more kindly. And then again, the vibrational quality of our being is determined by these basic attitudes towards our own self-worth, our own understanding of who we really are. I mean, all of these things, and that colors all of our relationships.
That's right. Yeah. So the time's flying, and we only have a few more minutes. What would you, if you had to leave the listeners, and as you know, not only do we have the listeners today, but the listeners throughout the week with our station and the others, what would you want to leave them with?
Well, I think that there's actually a really interesting exercise in my son's book, which I developed, called Expectations in Reality. It's actually in another one of my books, too, The Awakening Human Being, but it's in Tim's relationship book also. And this exercise, it has 4 steps, and I think that it's a good exercise for anyone who would like to start working with their expectations, the difference between their expectations to their relationship and to their partner, and looking at actually the reality. The first step of this exercise is to think about 3 things that you think, for example, that your partner should do are not due to make your relationship better. And then you could write that down on a piece of paper, 3 things. For example, he should spend more time with me, or he shouldn't drink so much, or he should play more with the kids, or what. It's 3 things that you think would really improve the relationship. Step 2 is then to forget about your expectations and consider what is actually the reality in relationship to these 3 things you wrote down. So if you say, he should spend more time with me, what's the reality? Does he spend time with you? Does he spend a lot of time with you, a little time with you? What is the reality in terms of what you are hoping for? Or he should play more with the kids, for example, or he should drink less. Well, what's the reality? Is he an alcoholic, or does he take a glass of wine once in a while? So explore reality in relationship to what it is that you desire or what it is your expectations are. And then step 3 in this is when you begin to sort of notice that there's a difference probably between your expectation and reality, what emotions arise in you? In other words, does this make you feel angry, or does it make you feel sad, or does it make you feel relieved? I mean, you can react in different ways to this exploration. And then the 4th step is, well, instead of focus, the 4th step is, what action would you take then? If you stop thinking about your expectation, but if you look only at the reality, what action would you take to live your life more sanely? I did this exercise with Tim once for a group of businesswomen in Sweden. There were 80 women in the group, and we did this exercise. And afterwards, 4 or 5 women came up to us. 2 of them said that they were going to leave their partner immediately. After they had looked at reality, they realized that it was hopeless, that their expectations didn't match at all. Several other women came up and said they realized that they should focus more on how wonderful their partner really was, and that their expectations were leading them astray, and that he was really this great. So it was really interesting to see that by noticing the difference between our expectations and reality, and then focusing on reality instead of the expectations. What is it that arises in you? It's a great exercise for...
Yes, and I have to interject with you because we need to fly and go. Everyone, buy the book, beamteam.com. We'll see you next time. Thank you, Barbara.
Okay. Thanks for having me. Bye.
Are you seeking a clearer path to love? Then tune in to the Love by Intuition show next week. All designed to your highest good. To contact Deborah Bouffet, owner of Empowered Connections, call her at 508-